veteran
and his emotional support Canadian
scream into the void about the Mormon Church. If you want to reach us, we are on Instagram at NotSoPeterPriesthood.
And you can email us at NotSoPeterPriesthood@gmail.com.
Thanks for joining us. Enjoy!
Bye! To my mother today. I was asking her about the pasteurized milk thing. And she said, no, I did not grow up on pasteurized milk. I grew up on unpasteurized raw milk. And I said, well, clearly some sort of bacteria got into my brain and that's why I am the way I am. And her response was, yeah, that's it.
Let's go with that.
Thanks for that.
Thank you. No, honey, you're perfectly fine. Everything's perfectly fine. You're super normal.
Super normal. Anyway, happy Saturday. How's your day going? How's your weather? I know you got snow yesterday.
Yeah, we got snow yesterday, and today it's supposed to be like in the upper 60s.
Oh,
I don't know what that is in Canadian.
I know like 70-ish is like room temperature, I
think. Yeah. Let's go with that.
So like 20, like, I think.
Like 20 to 22.
I keep my house at like 19 during the day because dead heart doesn't need to be warm.
Well, I currently don't have my heat on because I was just like, I refuse because it's supposed to be spring.
I usually wait until May long weekend because that's like the end of our like frost warnings usually. So
just gotta wait
a little bit. Yeah. 21st, I think. Anyways, it's sunny here. Our snow's melting.
Yeah, it's supposed to be sunny today, and then it's gonna get like shitty again. So, you know,
yeah, it is supposed to get rain for the next week, which I mean we need. But like, if the Mormons could stop fasting, it's just been a lot.
We need more moisture. Well, we need more moisture, but
we really do. Yeah, we're in bad drought conditions.
That word, moisture.
I can say moisture and it's fine. I can't say moist without.
Yeah, I know. Something about that.
Also, sometimes the word damp. I'm like,
ooh, yeah, especially in context. You're just like,
Anyways, that was fun. Welcome to the podcast. Moisture. And then giggle.
Because we're children.
Yeah,
what are we talking about, Dusty?
Okay, so this has been lying on my heart. No. you know Jordan and McKay, right? They do a podcast and they have like a YouTube YouTube channel.
Is that their podcast? Jordan and McKay is it?
Yeah. And they're like your favorite apostates, I think is their like tagline or whatever. They were on Mormon Stories a long time ago. They're adorable. I love them. They're a married couple and they've left the church and they're so cute. Like, I love them. Anyways, so Fundy Fridays sometimes goes to like McKay and Jordan because like McKay served a mission and so he has a lot of like knowledge about Mormon stuff. So when she's like covering Mormon stuff, she'll be like, and off to McKay to explain what this means or whatever, right? So cute. So anyways, they're like one of my favorite. It's like Not So Molly Mormon and then Jordan and McKay. They're my favorites. And they did like a deep dive into Ballerina Farm and I was listening to it and it got me thinking about like all the Mormon influencers and like how it's like this thriving, oversaturated business, basically, of Mormon influencers. And so I started doing a deep dive into like a bunch of them because that's how my brain works.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started telling you about it, and then you got mad with me, and it was really fun.
Only briefly. I couldn't handle much of the rabbit hole. I was like, oh, God, this is all cringe. It's very cringe. And I, from what I saw, I could see myself getting into a rabbit hole about Ballerina Farm, because I was just like, She is just unreal. I don't understand. Yeah.
I think they talked about her for like an hour and 45 minutes and probably didn't cover it all. Like, it's just wild. It's just wild. So, like, shout out to Jordan McKay. I love you. You guys are awesome. I'm sure they're listening.
Yeah, they're our number one listener.
They're very busy people. So, you know. So I was like, why is there so many Mormon influencers? And, like, you know, I'm, like, very minutely involved in, like, influencer culture on my, like, cute little Bookstagram thing. Like, let's all calm down. My record-breaking month was $12 in 1 month. So, you know. Ooh,
rolling.
I know, I'm rolling it.
So.
But like being kind of in that sphere and like knowing people or whatever, like the market is oversaturated with Mormons and they're all really good at it and they all make like really good money. And so I was like wondering, what is it? What is it? And the simple answer is they're really good at selling bullshit.
Yeah.
So a lot of these. There's a lot of Mormons, there's a lot of like Christian moms out there, but what they're doing is it's this trend of trad wives. And I'm sure you've seen it on TikTok and like these women who are like, I'm a trad wife, I blah, 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 and all the things, right? So trad wives, traditional wives, stay at home with the kids, raise the babies, have as many babies as they can, don't work, make everything from scratch, support their husband, all the things, right? They're saying that they're traditional wives and they're fetishizing this role of I stay at home and I live off my own land and I pop out baby after baby and look at how beautiful and slim I am. And I don't work outside of the house and I, you know, I homeschool because I'm not going to allow my children to be indoctrinated by a secular institution. The problem is, it's a lie. These women are working. Like, my little, you know, Bookstagram account that I made my record-breaking $12 in 1 month is a lot of work. It's planning content. It's reaching out to people. It's answering DMs. It's getting emails from publishers and authors. And it's a lot of work. I probably spend a couple hours on it every day just for my little account. Mm-hmm. So imagine having an account that is huge, has, 100,000 followers or more. And you're selling product, like actual product, right? So it's a job. They have assistants. They have media managers. They have editors who edit their photos, who edit their reels, who edit their Instagram posts. For example, because Jordan McKay brought this up, if you look at Ballerina Farm when she started and had like a blog when blogs were still a thing. Hi, I still have a blog. The way she wrote was very... like relatable. Like it was just like a stream of consciousness of like a young mom living her life and whatever. Fast forward to like today, it's written in this like cosplay of pioneer wife. Everything is so beautiful and grandeur. There's no spelling errors. There's no grammatical errors. Like it's very polished and very weird. Like it's hard to read in the sense of like, it's almost trying to be poetry kind of in a way.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you noticed that when you were looking it over.
I did not. I looked at her TikTok and that was it. She has 7 million followers. Just
7 million followers. Could you imagine?
Yeah. I had to look that up while you were talking. I was like, oh, how many followers did she have?
And she had a lot on YouTube. Like she grew very quickly once she started doing the YouTube thing.
Yeah, I noticed that a lot of them have started with YouTube. Like that's or they have a big following on YouTube. I don't usually do the YouTube influencer stuff, but
I love YouTube. I'm like our friend got me into it because of her cooking stuff and I love it so much.
Yes.
And when I'm really sad and feeling lonely, I turn on her cooking show and just have it going.
Oh,
isn't that so funny? I feel like we're hanging out.
Aww.
I'm fine, guys. I didn't get tickets to Hailstorm. I'm in a place right
She's
now.
She's in a mood. She's in a mood. It's fine.
I'm in a mood. Okay.
Very fragile right now.
So that's like one aspect of it is it's a lie. They're selling you a product, whether it's their brand, whether it's their belief system. Whether it's this It's very intentional. It's packaged and it's created and it's sold to you. And you are purchasing it either with your time by watching these views, which gets them into the algorithm, and you can make money. In the States, you can make money off TikTok and Instagram. You can't here. But it's your purchasing power just by spending your time with it, right? Or, like, for example, Ballerina Farm sells beef. So you're actually purchasing a product. Brittany Dawn is a Christian influencer. She wears like a hat in a lot of her TikToks. She sells that hat. You know, other Christian influencers or Mormon influencers, they're cooking sourdough bread. You can purchase their sourdough starter or the pan that they're using. They are selling that to you on their website. They're creating this profit train of, you can be just like me, Jake. You can be just like me. You can stay at home and have this beautifully curated, very aesthetically pleasing home. You just have to buy all this shit from me first, and then you'll be just like me.
Yeah,
it's a lie.
Right.
Another one. I don't know if you've heard of her, Jordan Page. Mm-hmm. She is part of the Page Company. She's been on like the Today Show and Rachel Ray and like all these different things, because when she first started, her channel's called Fun, Cheaper, Free. So she had 8 kids in 10 years.
Oh, this sounds familiar. Yeah. Okay.
I'm sure you've heard of her because she's
8 kids in 10 years.
8 kids and 20 in 10 years. And her last update that I actually watched before I was like, I've had enough of you. She has like pretty severe health issues from putting her body through that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she talks about like living frugally and taking care of her children. Because when they started, having 8 kids in 10 years is expensive. Yeah. And before they had this company and they were like these influencers, her and her husband, whose name is, she calls him Bubba. It's not his name, but that's what everybody calls him, which I'm like, what is happening? That's a whole other podcast. But when she started, it was really good content. Like, I started watching her because I had, you know, young children. And was trying to like figure out, okay, like I don't have an income now. We're living on one income. How can I make this work? How can I take care of my kids? How can I like, and so she did like bulk, like batch cooking and, you know, all that sort of thing, meal prepping and like figuring out ways to like live frugally with kids. So it was very, and it was like productivity, like how you can lay out your day and have like a time block and a schedule of like, okay, this is what your baby needs. So these are the things that you can kind of shift in. Because when you're a new mom, having a schedule is like it's like saves your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because babies don't come with a manual. You don't know.
They're just curled up into your vagina and it's like, comes out with the placenta or whatever.
It is wild. Your first child, the nurses come in and they check your car seat and make sure like it's appropriately set up. And then they say, congratulations, have a great day. And you're like, we just go.
You're going to send me home with this thing?
This tiny thing. Like, and, like, we walked past the nurse's desk. And they were like, congratulations, guys. You have such a beautiful family. And like my husband was like, we just go. And she's like, oh, do you need us to like wait with your wife while you get the vehicle? And he's like, no, we don't have to.
Like check him out or like a library, like scan him.
Here's your manual. you just walk out. It is the most wild experience. Even with your second kid, you're walking out like, okay, we're leaving. And they're like, bye.
Leaving.
And you're
like, I've got a human.
It's a human. I'm now, I have to stop. You're not coming with me? It's really nice. You brought me a turkey sandwich at 3 a.m. when he wouldn't stop screaming. You can't come. You want to come? Dogs. Like, it is such a wild experience. And so finding somebody like that, that's like, here's how, this is what you need to do. They need to eat every whatever hours. You need to. And so having somebody be like, because your brain is scrambled. And so saying like, okay, get up with baby at 6 o'clock, change baby's diaper, feed him, lay him down on his back and like kick his little legs and get the gas, like things like that, that you're like, oh, okay, okay. Having somebody kind of guide you through that is life changing. And so then they suck you into this, like what else you can do. is if you join the Mormon church, then, you know, like things like that seem very nefarious.
Yeah. Well, and I was looking at Al Caraway. Is that her name? Al Fox, the tattooed Mormon.
Yeah.
And I noticed on hers, at least on her TikTok, she covers her tattoos. Like she wears long sleeves and stuff. And I remember when I worked at Deseret Book, that was like a proud point that she had. Like it was a selling point for her. That like, I'm a tattooed Mormon and I'm very faithful. And it was a little bit scandalous because like, oh, she's got tattoos, you know? And
yeah, because she has a full sleeve, does she not? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so.
Yep. And there was one video that I saw. I was like, because I couldn't remember if this was her or not. And I was like, she looks familiar. And then I was like waiting for a video where it would like at least show something, you know. And I'm like, I hate that I'm looking for her tattoos, but I feel like this is the tattooed Mormon. And then I saw like a glimpse of it and I was like, oh, yep, it's her. And then she does like and I've noticed I was looking at like counts like of like how popular are these people, and a lot of them aren't getting a lot of like likes on their videos, but I don't know, not what I would expect, you know. And I was like, interesting for an influencer. I don't know if you're actually like, I think in the Mormon world, yes, they're huge, but like we all know that the Mormon world is very small, but they think that they are like the whole world.
Yeah, they really do. So, we're everybody.
Yeah,
they're very popular on
Utah,
YouTube,
and you're popular in whatever. But like, is there anything that says that they've like expanded out from that, or do you know? Or
it's very like YouTube is their playground, and I know of media managers who run multiple mommy blogs, and the majority of them are Mormons. They might not say we're Mormon, but I would say a large chunk of the mommy bloggers, the mommy influencers, are LDS women.
And they're on YouTube.
And they're on YouTube, yeah. Or they have blogs.
I was on the wrong platform. Okay. Oh. No, you're good.
No,
I do think TikTok, they probably they just know their audience, because YouTube would be where their audience would be.
Yeah.
I can picture that, like, because TikTok's like a wild land, you know, like, mm-hmm. And people can say what they want on there.
Yep.
I mean, you can, there's not as much restriction on YouTube either, but there's like, you can have a little more of a curated experience on YouTube. You know, mm-hmm. you can, it's like,
and it's the money-making factor as well. YouTube, once you hit so many hours watched and so many followers, you are monetized.
Oh, okay.
And you can use like Google ads and you can make money from that. You can get sponsorships. And if you show short clips of, you know, we used HelloFresh for dinner tonight, HelloFresh then sponsors your video and you can make thousands of dollars.
Oh.
Where TikTok, I mean, I think they have longer format videos available now in TikTok.
Yeah.
But it's like 9 minutes max or whatever.
Mm.
If you don't want to spend 2 to 3 minutes talking about a product out of your 9 minute whatever, where on YouTube you can talk for an hour about your life and how perfect it is. And so, of course, you can spend those 2 to 3 minutes talking about your product that is sponsoring you. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where the money making scheme, so to speak, is. Right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I think when we were talking offline about this, it made me think of like the snake oil salesman of just like they're selling shit that doesn't really actually work, and it doesn't work for everybody. It's basically like a placebo, you know. Yeah. It's something that'll make you feel good for. And it's interesting that there's like just kind of maybe a little bit of a tangent, but you know how like they think of like temporal joy, quote unquote, like if it's like, and then and then the eternal versus eternal joy, and then there's this like, but that's exactly what they're selling is temporal joy, like, oh, this, but they're like kind of spinning it to the, oh, this is actually because of my faith and because of this, because I have those two things combined, this gives me, you know. And they're not saying it explicitly, but like this is very implied that like, because I'm a Mormon and because I'm doing this thing and I'm only seeking the good things in life and the whatever the the best things, and they're organic and they're whatever, which there's nothing wrong with organic, obviously, but like, I mean, it's great, but like, that's what I noticed about Ballerina Farm. She was like, this is an organic makeup, and this is a, you know, and she's sitting there cutting her potatoes, like, for fries, like, you're making potatoes, like, from scratch, you know, like, fries from scratch. So, anyway.
Yeah, it's very white privileged woman talking about her privilege in a lot of these instances.
Yeah. And the Ballerina Farm, I was also telling you, I was like, my granddad had a farm, and like, there was, it was not clean like that. Like, and the house she lives in is not a farmhouse. It is a, it's not a traditional farmhouse. It might be like a,
they talk about their tiny little farmhouse. It's 3,000 square feet.
Oh, Jesus. It's a mansion.
Yeah. Mansion, like, basically.
And I mean, I have an uncle that's a farmer, and like, they struggled for, like, it is not an easy life, and they're making it seem like it's an easy, like, and she's got her baby in her wrap, like, while she's doing all this stuff. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're cool. Like, I don't, it is like, it's a picture. They're selling a dream, but it's not reality.
Selling a dream. Yeah. Yeah, like Jordan Page with her, we're just struggling along right beside you, also then posting pictures of the mansion that they're renovating because they make millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not real.
Oh, and then Ballerina Farm had a video of where they go to Hawaii with all their kids. I'm like, yeah,
you can't go to Hawaii if you have a farm. No.
Yeah.
My grandpa never left the farm. I don't think we took him to Hawaii for a week, and it's because neighbors and friends and family that didn't go with us stepped in to milk the cows, take care of the horses, run the hay, do all of the things. A bunch of people like were like, yeah, you go to Hawaii with your grandkids and we'll take care of it. That was like the first time he left the farm, and he was in his 70s. I want to say.
Yeah. As a farmer, you can't just like drop everything and go. No. Otherwise, you're not making money.
No.
And shit just goes like.
Yeah. The cows don't care. Like, he used to always say this. The cows don't care that it's Christmas. They still need to be taken care of.
Yep.
The horses don't care that it's Christmas. They still need to eat and be let out to pasture and stuff. Right. Like.
Yep.
And so, yeah, it's infuriating to watch these people be like, we're just like you. We just live off the land. You can do this too. No, you come from generational wealth and you have opportunities that not everybody has.
Yeah.
It's infuriating. It's so infuriating.
Yep.
Yeah. So, sort of switching gears. On the other side of the
Mormon, I was just going to say that this is where we need to go now.
On the other side of the Mormon influencer coin, we have the ex-Mormon influencers. And I'm going to maybe get in big trouble for saying this. It's the same shit. It's the same thing with a different approach. We have these ex-Mo influencers who are spying at gay people at church. And seeing if they take the sacrament. They are life coaches telling you how you have to deconstruct your faith crisis and the exact ways that you need with zero qualifications.
Yeah.
I have looked. There's a few life coaches out there on platforms that I have looked. I have gone to their LinkedIn. I have gone to their website. There is no criteria. There is no... They have no credentials.
Yeah, there's... There's literally no credential that you, you actually need credentials to be a life coach, though. Exactly. Like, you actually need to, like, Becky, who was just on the podcast, she had told me that, like, she could be a life coach with her credentials but she's had tons of schooling. Like, she's got a master's.
Yeah.
You know, I would say that's, like, yeah. But even she was saying, like, I don't feel, she's like, I could do it, but I don't really, you know, that's not something I want to do, but like, because of that, I mean, anyway, but
yeah, imagine being like a 26-year-old child telling adults how they need to live their life and be successful.
Yeah.
Like, that just to me is like, I'm sorry, what? Show me your diploma. Where did you go to school? Show me your credentials and I'll shut up about it. Just be transparent with me why you're qualified to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You tell I'm getting enraged.
Oh, no, you're perfectly, it enrages me too, because I'll be like, we've had conversations offline about this, about how do they, and I think we've also talked about how the church kind of, it's that, the idea that, oh, everything I say is important, and and everybody has valid
points. Point. We have a podcast. We are important. Right. Everything we say is worth listening to.
Exactly. Are we the problem? Are we part of the problem? I don't know.
I think we're self-aware enough to understand that, like, we are, first of all, we do this for ourselves, the majority of it, to work through it and laugh together. And if a few people come along with us and laugh at our idiocy, then that's fun too, right?
Yeah.
But you and I are not trying to sell a product to people of, this is how you have to XMO. Mm-hmm. This is what you have to go through. We are saying, wherever you are, if this, you know, aligns with how you're feeling and what you're going through, and take it. And if it doesn't, let it go. You know, we're not saying you have to experiment with your sexuality. You have to put yourself in these situations that you've never once considered in order to understand yourself. Like, it seems very... It's our way. We know how to XMO. We're the experts. When they're just as confused and floundering as the rest of us trying to sort this crap out in our adult years.
And I feel like a lot of them, because it's such a, how do I say this? It's like a, it's an easy thing to do to stay in that angry place. And a lot of them feel like, because they get so much recognition for that angry spot that they're in.
What are you saying?
No, you're on a, you just have internal rage all the time, but it's fine.
Okay, no, that's
fine. You're like, you're right, fair point. But what I'm saying is, like, the rage against the church, like, about, like, and your deconstruction part of, like, I mean, I went through an angry phase about it too, you know, just being, feeling kind of betrayed, feeling like, but I think a lot of them stay in that place and they want their followers to stay in that place and to be, you need to be angry with me. This is terrible. This is, and yeah, okay. I love a good rage video. We've raged on here, raged, you know.
It's healthy. But, it's a healthy part of the grieving process.
Yeah.
Grief is not linear. You can step back into that rage when something triggers you in that grief process. And we are grieving our old lives.
Yeah. But it also isn't healthy to stay in that. So, and I think there's a lot of those creators that want their people, and they also themselves stay in that rage phase because they know that it sells.
Yeah, and it really catches them. Yeah, making a t-shirt about something rude that a Mormon said to you is kind of, I find it kind of middle schoolish.
Yeah, like, it also plays into that whole thing of, like, oh, you're just, you got offended by somebody in the church and you left, you know? And
and they're take being offended by these Mormons and then taking it and putting it on a t-shirt. And selling it minimizes
everybody else's experience, because that's what Mormons see us as we're just angry at the church, and that's
perpetuating
not,
it. Yeah.
And I get that there's, you know, there's fun jokes, whatever, like, I'm sorry for what I said when I was Mormon, that kind of stuff. That's great. But, like, I also just, I think there's danger in, like, profiting off of that and, having people stay in this, like, world of rage. Mm-hmm. Like, when I was on Twitter, or I'm not yet Twitter.
It's still Twitter.com. It's not X.com. You still type in Twitter.com, so it is Twitter. I don't care.
When I was on Twitter, that's what it was. And I found, that's why I left it, was because I found, I've reactivated just so that I can, whatever, keep my finger on a pulse of some things, but, like, I've noticed I've, like, separated myself a lot from it, but, like, I really noticed how, like, it just made me angry to be, like, around these desnets that were saying all this shit, and, like, I would respond to them and they would say the same things to me. And I was just, it would trigger me so much. And I was in this very angry place with that. And I realized that I was like, I don't want this. This is, what am I doing to myself? You know? And
Yeah, it doesn't feel good to sit in that angry, pissed off place all the time. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I have a lot of internal rage, yes, but I also have joy in my life.
Yeah, you do.
I had a
I
blue
do.
jay land in my bird feeder yesterday.
Oh, I know.
Magical.
Yeah. I was there for it.
I know. It was a live, it was a
Yeah.
live moment we shared.
Yeah.
I know.
Dusty cried.
I did.
It
Damn little.
was cute. She does have a little bit of a heart, I guess, you know, from
Like a
what I
little
hear.
tiny piece that
Just,
still
we're not
wants
gonna
to
let
love.
that rumor, yeah. Anyway,
Don't tell anybody, guys.
it's our little secret, as we tell it on a podcast. It's fine.
It's fine. It's fine.
I had a thought, but now it's gone. Anyway, but I do think that I think we've gotten into a tangent on this, but I get a little tangential with Exmo creators. I think it's because that's they're more on my algorithm than the Mormon creators. Obviously, I don't. That's a whole world I don't understand. But like you said, it's the same shit, but different approaches.
That's the other side of it. There has to be the Mormon influencers that are creating this aesthetic of homeschooling and trad wives and fetishizing pregnant women popping out babies. On the other side, you have, secular belief systems doing drugs out in the desert. You have to buy this brand of alcohol. You have to support this coffee. Like, if I have never done shrooms, I never will do shrooms. There is nothing in my life that says I would want to go out and have that experience.
Right.
But there are creators out there that are making it seem like if you're not doing this, then you haven't fully embraced life outside the church. Okay, that's fine with me. I'm completely fine with not doing that. And
Right.
I get really angry because I know there's a lot of young people leaving the church, and there is a link between doing hallucinogenics and having mental health issues be exacerbated. I know they are doing trials with hallucinogenics and laboratory testings and that sort of thing. Those are controlled situations. Those are doctors, those are scientists working through with the brain, with people they are testing it on that have gone through rigorous checking. Right? It's not some bitch in a string bikini running through the Utah desert taking shrooms from Joe in the Walmart parking lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it really makes me angry to have on my algorithm, because again, it's on the algorithm, to have it being forced into me that, well, I'm not deconstructing all the way because I'm not free to do that. I haven't made those choices to do that. It's really frustrating to me. You know?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I well, and I feel like I've when you're more intentional with your just deconstruction, it's and I think that's my experience has been that like I left the church and then it was like I had been and I didn't officially leave it until I was like and then once I officially left it is when I started deconstructing intentionally, and that's when I found Not So Molly Mormon, and I looked for those things that actually aligned with what I was feeling, and like I like that they, you know, they keep it real, and they're able to poke fun at, you know, the church, but they're also like they have the facts, and you know, and that spoke to me, and I just yeah, but and a lot of them talk about the same stuff. Like when something new happens, it's like I'm like, oh, that's everybody's talking about that. I don't want to talk about it. You know, like it's
Yeah, you've said
everywhere.
that to me. I've been like, hey, did you hear? And you're like, yeah, everybody's talking about it. We're not going to talk about it. And I'm like, Tim Ballard, perfect example. Everybody and their dog has done a special on Tim Ballard. I have nothing to say about the man. He's a crook.
Yeah.
Podcast over.
Yep.
Like,
I
you
mean,
know,
yeah. Like, what can we say that has isn't
hasn't
already been
already been said.
said, but also why do we need to give that more attention than it, you know, than it already has? It's important to talk about it, but at the same time, like that's not something I need in order to deconstruct. Like, I don't know. I do like hearing that kind of stuff, like the whole thing that I sent you, where it was the church has more issues with like their
Oh,
the investigation into their money and stuff, and so I was like,
shocking.
shocking, you know. And it just keeps coming, you know, and you're just like, oh, there's more news that the church is shitty. Okay, we got it, you know. But I don't know, maybe it's just where I am in my
Maybe.
deconstruction. I'm just like,
And I
eh.
just find it so like it's a control. These people are using the church's tactics in the same way as you're wearing a shirt that has sleeves on it. Oh, have you not deconstructed? You can show your shoulders. Why don't you show your shoulders? Don't let them shackle you. And maybe I don't want to show my damn shoulders. I got some big old thighs. Maybe I don't want to wear a short skirt. Like, you know, it seems very predatory in the same sense of we are telling you what is right and we are telling you what you have to do in order to exmo the right way. And it infuriates me.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because you can have self-love and be comfortable in your skin without showing your body
Absolutely.
completely. But I think there is that messaging out there that eczemas, and I can understand it, but it's like it's almost like the pendulum swung like way far to this other side, where it's like, oh, well, if you're not like out naked in the woods, what are you doing? It
Yeah,
doesn't
what are you
matter.
even doing?
Like, have you really deconstructed, or are you just like you're just letting them still control you? And
Yeah.
if, I'm honestly, if that works for you, if you want to go running naked in the woods doing ayahuasca or whatever, then
Yeah.
that's more power to
Have
you, as long
fun.
as you're
If
being
that's
safe.
your choice and
You
safety is
know.
involved, I will not be participating because I am a boring mother of two. And it takes so it just seems predatory to me. And it seems they're doing the same thing that they are, you know, subscribe to my YouTube channel and come on this adventure with me. Let's sign up and we're gonna go to this conference together. Pay $387 to hear me speak on something I am not qualified to speak on. And it
Oh yeah.
just it's the same shit, like you said, on
Shouldn't
the
we
other side of the pendulum.
talk about the little eczema conferences? I don't like how culty they feel, and like
What is the difference between general conference and come to this EXMO conference and sit in an auditorium and listen to these people talk to you? What is the difference?
there's
These ones think they're speaking for God. These ones think they're speaking for all of us in the EXMO community who don't know any better. I actually really hate it.
Twitter, like the Desnets, all think that we follow John DeLynn. I will say his
Jeez,
name.
I'm
I
just
don't,
kidding.
yeah, you know, I shouldn't say his name, but it's whatever. Like, I just naming
It's
names,
because
but
he's
I
the most
just,
popular and he's been around the longest. Everybody knows who he is. That's why they say he's our prophet or whatever. Don't follow him on social media. Don't really give a crap about what he's have never sent money to his account, have never, you know what I mean? Like they do the like super chats where you can send money or whatever. What? No. You're a not-for-profit. You don't need my cash. And I find that a lot of people coming out of this church are in a very vulnerable state. And I feel like they can get sucked into this. We were created and brainwashed to be very susceptible to cult tactics. That's how our brain was created from childhood, being sung, I'm a child of God, right? And so it's preying on vulnerable people in the state of what now? I need someone, like I said, when I had babies, I needed someone to tell me what I was supposed to do because that's how my brain was molded from childhood. I needed someone to say, this is a schedule that a baby needs to be on. It's the same thing when you're deconstructing of what do I do now? And they go in and they snatch these people and force feed them this crap of like, this is how you have to do it. And it's so dangerous. You know, and they get wrapped up in, I mean, look at, for example, Freckled Fox. I don't know if you know who she is. I used to follow her back, like, when Pinterest was, like, a really popular thing, because I had super long hair. She has super long hair. She would do all these beautiful hair tutorials of, like, braids and just stunning, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into this. She's a mother of, I think, 5 kids, and her husband was dying of cancer. And so you get sucked into this thing of her. So her husband dies, leaves her with all these children. There's professional photographs of her at his casket saying goodbye to him. Like, it's very cringy in that, you know, and talking about how we'll see him again and we're a family forever. And then the pipeline of she was married 3 months later, because God forbid you have sex with somebody you're attracted to when you're grieving your husband and feeling lonely and vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
So she gets married to this guy who's kind of a douche nozzle. Long story short, a gun was shot in their home. She was hit with the gun. It was like an accidental. But why is there a loaded gun in a home full of young children is my first problem. But now, so this Mormon influencer now has a DUI, spent 5 days in jail, is going through a divorce. And that's what the Mormons love to see. They love to see this person who is not deconstructed, who has not gone through a healthy grieving process, crumble. Mm-hmm. Because it feeds the narrative of, look, you can't have joy outside the church.
Yeah, you can't be happy out there. Yeah. So this is what will happen to you.
And so I feel that these influencers that are saying, do this, do this, do this, do this, are leading vulnerable people down a path that they are not prepared for. They're not in a healthy state to be embracing.
Mm-hmm.
That they need to go through a proper grieving process. And it may take years. It might take years before you take off that t-shirt and show your shoulders. You may never take off that t-shirt and wear a tank top. And that is completely fine. But I feel like they are pushing this narrative of, this is what you have to do. And it is, you know, substance abuse is a very real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, I mean, we've talked about, like, how to mix drinks and stuff. We are not saying go out and do this. We are saying, if you choose to drink, this is what you can order at a bar as a beginner, right?
Yeah.
I would never, I have multiple friends that are sober, and I am so proud of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's a vulnerable place to be at when you are leaving a culture, because that's what it is, and trying to make your way and being bombarded with, this is what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's dangerous. And I think it's very irresponsible of people who have a large following to not take responsibility for what they're putting out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm good.
Absolutely.
Now.
Well, and, the thing that enrages me a lot is the lack of credentials, trying to tell people how to live their lives,
mm-hmm.
going to these conferences, speaking at these conferences without credentials. Mm-hmm. Like, who are you to speak about it? Like, what makes your experience so singular and special that it's, you know, and I understand, like, there is a common thread with exmos of, like, why we leave the church. There's mm-hmm. doctrine that we can, you know, if you leave doctrinally, if you leave for your sexuality, or you know, there's always some sort of trigger that, you know, mm-hmm. led people to leave. So it's not like everybody's experience is valid, but it's not singular. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, that makes perfect sense. Yeah,
we are a group of people that have been, we've recognized the abuse of the church, we've decided that we don't want to stand with it, we can no longer there for some reason, whatever that reason is, you want to leave it. And yeah, hearing other people's stories is great. That's, we've had
absolutely.
People on podcasts,
I love
shared our
stories. Yeah.
It's great. That's valid. But, like, don't sell yourself as, like, I have this experience, so my experience is valid, and you need to, this is the way I'm doing it, and this is the way mm-hmm. everybody else should be doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also, you're no expert. I'm not an expert. I've never said, you and I have never said we're experts.
No, I'm like, I'm the furthest thing from an expert. Let's be. How many times a day do I text you and say I'm not qualified to be a parent?
Yeah.
Yes, you are. You're fine. You've got this. And I go, okay. Text you in an hour and have a little breakout.
Well, yeah, and it's. I mean, I even with like a bachelor's in psychology that I just got. Woohoo! But
congratulations, everybody! Tell Jake how smart and wonderful he is.
But I'm also like, yeah, I'm not qualified to do anything still. No, I just don't. I feel like I just like laid a groundwork of like, oh, this is how things work. But like, then I can specialize. But you've got people that are just trying to give mental health advice that don't have the credentials for that.
That is the one. That is the one. I know exactly who you're talking about. They're an influencer, content creator that talks about mental health in a place that sounds like they are coming from a place of professionalism, and they are not. Mm-hmm. They're using their own experience, and they are conveying that this is a one size fits all. This is how you work through this situation. And it makes me crazy.
Yeah.
Like, how many antidepressants and anti-anxiety medications are on the market? Why are there so many? Oh, because not every single one works for every single person's mm-hmm. individual issues.
Oh, yeah.
One type of therapy and one type of, like, this is how you get through it is not going to work for every... I'm great. Yeah, I'm glad that works for him. It's not one size fits all. Yeah. I'm glad that whatever he's doing is working for him. That's great. That's not going to... He is a man in his 30s. His situation does not apply to a mother in her almost 40s. Ouch. Ouch. Yeah. So, like, it's great. But when they come from a place of, like, this is what you need to do in order to, like, take care of your mental health. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe that just worked for you and you don't have a platform to stand on and say that this works.
I think I'd have less of a problem with it if they were a little more transparent about, like, this is just from my experience, you know, mm-hmm. instead of being like, this is advice that I'm giving you for free, but it's also just like, I have a lot of followers and I'm going to, like, give this stuff, but I'm taking no responsibility about, like, being transparent about who I actually am.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. It's the colloidal silver of it all. This will cure your sore throat if you spray colloidal silver in your throat. And
ooh, that was that just made me think of, what's her name? The Mother God, right?
Yeah. She drank colloidal silver, which is like,
which,
like, I know people when I was a kid, my mom would put colloidal, like, if we got a cut on the farm because farms are dirty, she mm-hmm. would put colloidal silver because there's, like, natural, like, antibacterial properties so that you wouldn't get an infection. We weren't drinking it for breakfast.
Yeah.
Like, and there are, like, throat sprays, because, again, it's like an antibacterial properties. If you have, like, a bacterial infection and a sore throat, it will fight the bacteria. You're not drinking a cup of it.
Yeah.
It's, oh my God. But it's this whole mentality of, like, well, this worked for me, it'll work for you. And then it spirals out of control and nobody takes responsibility for saying what kicked off the whole situation. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I'm so rageful. I'm trying to keep it reined in and not.
I mean, I have rage inside of me, but I'm also just, like, tired. So I'm like,
we'll be good. So that we're not both riled up and screaming into the microphone. So anyways, so that's how I feel that these people, it doesn't matter what side of the line in the sand, it doesn't matter which side you're standing on, they're still manipulating people, they are still selling a dream, they're still attacking and corrupting vulnerable people, they're still showing you something that is not realistic necessarily for you as an individual, and saying you too can have this, you can sit on a beach in Hawaii in your string bikini and wear 80 pounds and live on raw food and not have a care in the world and do drugs with a elder of blah blah blah, you know. Mm-hmm. It's preying on vulnerable people on both sides, and I feel like people need to take some more responsibility and have some more transparency about what it is that they're doing. They are making money off of you. They are making money off of your views. They are making money off of you purchasing products from them. They are making money off of you being angry and influenced by what they're telling you to do.
Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I think it's just important to practice caution and to... if you find a new creator, or if you have a content creator that you follow, like, start looking into, like, where their credentials are, and mm-hmm. Are they actually saying things that align with you, or are you just, and, you know, if you're just watching for the entertainment value, that's sometimes what I do. I'm like, oh yeah,
I love the entertainment. Yeah. I watch some of these trad wives, like, through a third party usually, so they don't get my views. But, like, my favorite thing on, like, a wild Friday night, I like to watch I like to watch Fundy Fridays, and my favorite is when she shows some of these videos and like rips them apart and like makes fun of them. That is my favorite thing to be like, look at how ridiculous this is.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's definitely like the entertainment value. Like when I was just watching Ballerina Farm right before we started recording, because I was doing last minute research. I was like, this is not real. Like, this is just, like, I'm sure some of it's, I don't know, but I'm also just like, you're a rich woman that, like, is able to do this stuff. Like, there's this isn't accessible for everybody. This isn't.
Her husband is an heir to an airline.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Jet something?
JetBlue or something?
JetBlue, thank you.
Oh.
His father started JetBlue.
Oh. Well,
so they have money. Like they're paying for nannies. They are paying for farm help. They are paying for a teacher to come and homeschool their children. They live 15 minutes from Park City. They're not out in the boonies living off the land.
Yeah, she makes it look like they live off the, like they're living off the grid and whatever. Like, you can't live off the grid and have a YouTube channel. I'm sorry. That's not... What?
We don't have iPads in our home. How are you editing? Do you have a computer? Yeah. Are you sending that? You have to send it to your editor somehow.
Yeah.
It's not filmed on an iPhone 4.
Also, you have Wi-Fi clearly or something, because that's definitely not off the grid. So
yeah. I know. I just want everyone to just know. Even freaking my stupid little 3,000 followers account. It is curated. There is a blanket laid perfectly. There are flowers arranged nicely that have had the dead leaves picked off so you don't see them. And outside of that box is a child screaming because his brother touched him, and a dog barking at a squirrel, and me looking a mess because I'm like, just everybody shut up for 5 minutes!
But oh, it's such a pretty photo.
My beautiful home in my perfect corner where my bookshelf is perfect, perfect and nothing corner, is messy but... and nobody is crying and
I had it. Yep, it's gone. Just kidding. Sorry. No, it's fine. It came back. Look at that. I think we've mentioned this before, and you kind of touched on a little bit earlier, whereas we're created and we're indoctrinated to have to want to be told what to do. But what that does is makes it so it's, we lack critical thinking skills. And so we have to train ourselves to think critically. And that's what these creators, they know that.
They're some banking on you not being able to look at it with a realistic lens and say, that's not real.
Mm-hmm.
It's the boomers on Facebook going, look at this beautiful picture of this child in China with this dog who created, it's called AI. It's not real.
Yeah.
but we aren't trained to do that. We are trained to be told something and take it as truth. Mm-hmm. Because why would anybody ever lie to us?
We're not supposed to question anything. Yeah. No. Especially people in the church. Why would they lie to us? And why would, and then exmos, I think there's a level of trust among us too, where it's like, oh, we've been through the same experience. So obviously we're on the same side, but that's not necessarily always true.
There's manipulators and liars in the church. There's manipulators and liars outside of the church. And that translates very easily into, I can still make money off of you.
Mm-hmm.
I can still take advantage of you.
Yep.
There's good people in and out. And to look at Jordan Page, who says, we only spend $170 a week on groceries, is not realistic.
Yeah.
Like,
do they not have inflation wherever they are?
a few years old. I just remember her like, I feed my family of eight on $150 or whatever, right?
That is impossible. I'm one person and I can't do that. Even back then, even like, years ago, I couldn't do that. There's just no way.
I really like dark coffee. but you have, and we are not taught to think, okay, this woman has top of the line camera equipment. This woman has top of the line editing. She has a marketing team. This is not real. We're not taught to think. We're thinking, she just does it. She turns off the camera and she goes about her life, and she doesn't give a shit that you're trying to survive an impossible task. Because you've already clicked on the video, you've already liked it, you've already gone to her website and downloaded her printable, you've already subscribed to, you know, she's already made her money off you. She doesn't give a shit.
So I also, when I Googled, it was weird to think of Mormon influencers. I'm like, do people even, like, I just like, what they influence me to do, like, not drink some root beer floats. Like, anyway.
It's the Ruby Frankie of it all. Why is she popular? Because people like to watch a family function. There is a huge market for watching these families be families.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I get sucked into it too. There's a creator that I'm obsessed with because she has 4 kids and they're so stinking cute. I'm part of the problem because I love watching her mother her children and work in her garden. Every week when her video comes out, I sit and watch it because it makes me just like, look at their cute little house and look at how she decorated and look at her girl's bow in her hair. Like, I am part of the problem. I am self-aware and I know. I'm the problem. It's me. There is a huge market, but there is lots of people like me who just find the satisfaction of just sitting and watching this beautifully curated family.
Well, and I think that hails back to like the 1950s when it was like, oh, the traditional family, you know, like this is, and something about that time is nostalgic, even though there was like a lot of problems back then. But there's some like a nostalgia about that because we're kind of geared to think that that was like a beautiful time. It's like, I know you're in Canada, but like the American dream, you know, like that, you know,
we still have like the same kind of concept here. Yeah.
Yeah. But while I was looking at these content creators, there was one that I just wanted to mention real quick. There was these twin girls. I swear to God, I thought they were like 15, and they're not far from that, I don't think, but they're both married. They're identical twins. They're married. One has been to Mount Everest. I don't know which one, but, and then the other one, I don't know what she does, but they still have the same like TikTok account, and I don't know. It's very cringe. I was just like, but they do like the dances. They do like, they're kind of gearing more towards, obviously they're like a way younger audience, like probably like, you know, young teen girls, like 12 to 18 or whatever, that are, you know, and I'm sure they're right. They had a lot more followers than anybody else, but they are also not, from what I could see, they weren't like super, like, I went to the temple today. Like, they were, the church wasn't like a big part of what they do, but like they still like will put some stuff in there. It's like, oh, but it's just interesting that, and if I didn't have as much problem with them, but they were just like, I've had a problem with like, they're like really young and they're married and they're trying, and what, obviously they're rich because you can't go to Mount Everest cheaply, you know. No. I'm just saying.
My uncle has been to death camp, and that was like an experience. But like, yeah, you don't just like get on a plane and fly to the Himalayas. Like, you just it's an adventure.
But that's, I mean, it's just another thing of like, even the young people are getting into it, I guess, like, is it like those Zoomers, you know,
because they see the ability to sell bullshit.
And they're also selling the bullshit of like, this is how you're supposed to be a young Mormon teen. And this is like, this is the, I married young and we still have fun. We're still fun people, quote unquote. And we're, you know, and we can still travel and go to Mount Everest. Like, that's doable with like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a wild, like, again, there's a lot of mommy vloggers out there. I'm part of the problem. I love them. And the majority of them will never talk religion. They will never say they'll slide in like after church on Sunday, we. And so it's very subtle in a lot of these, they don't have on their profile like I'm a Mormon, like it used to be.
Oh, well, that would be I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Yeah, because the I am a Mormon thing never even happened. Ask David
Yeah.
Archuleta, he knows. Yeah, so, yep. Anyways, there's my rage for the day. Now I'm gonna go watch my mommy blogger get her garden ready for the spring.
I've had enough of you. I'm just
I know that I'm the problem. But I also watch it knowing critically she's not recording her child have a meltdown because she gave him the blue cup instead of the yellow cup. She is not recording her baby having a blowout in her cute outfit. She's not recording her and her husband having an argument over why this wasn't done and how they need to deal. Like, those things are not being captured. And I know that because I'm a critical thinking person now. 15 years ago, I would have been like, why is my marriage not look like hers? Why are my children not dressed and playing beautifully together with their wooden toys? You know? And it comes from that work of, understanding and critical thinking that comes from starting to think for yourself and starting to take apart the world that you know and look at the different pieces of how things actually are.
That's
Anyways, moral of the story is you have to be just like us.
right.
You have to drink a shit ton of coffee.
Commercial break, HelloFresh is
Today's sponsor is no.
today's sponsor is
Like, if you could get a sponsorship, that's incredible. And, like, kudos to you. And I hope that you are successful. Like, I would die to have a sponsorship through, like, a bookstore chain. That would be incredible. It's not gonna happen because I honestly don't care to spend the amount of time that needs to be spent. But yeah, I'm not saying that these people are—they're just making a living, and you just need to look at it critically and say they are creating a product, and you are purchasing it, whether it's with your views or whatever. Just be aware of it because they're not transparent.
Practice caution and intentionality, and you'll be good.
And if it seems too good to be true, it probably is.